morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Lunchboxer. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with a very special guest. Listen, this guy, Bellini Award winner for Fight of the Year last year, his fucking epic battle with Caleb Plant. He is the tenacious one himself, 168-pound contender, Trevor McCombie. What's going on, Trevor?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
I'm good, man. We just out here. I was in Brooklyn earlier at the Tank World Press Conference, but you know,
okay.
A lot of stuff going on in boxing. Obviously, we know you had the great fight with Caleb Plant. You did come up short, but you gained a lot of fans from that fight. So the people want to know, when the hell is Trevor McCombie getting back in the ring, man?
Man, we're working on some stuff, you know. But at the end of the day, we just want. You know, we want some big fights, and we want to be known. You know, and that's where we were at earlier last year. You know, we wanted a big fight, and we got it. And you know, it didn't really go the right way, but we're looking at really taking over super middleweight, man.
Absolutely, man. Listen, the fans are looking forward to seeing you again, man. Now, are you signed with the promoter? Are you doing it solo? Like, who's your representation right now?
Right now, we can work with really anybody. So, we're signed with ProBox, and you know they work. You know, we can work with anybody. So,
I like ProBox. Yeah. Gary Jones, a good dude, man. Now,
yeah, Gary's good people.
Back to the Caleb Plant fight, because that fight was epic. Obviously, you were the underdog coming into that fight, but listen, man, you gave Caleb Plant all that he can handle. What was the game plan going into that fight? Like, what did you see that you thought that you could exploit with Caleb Plant?
Man, I mean, really what we knew is, you know, we had the strength, and people saw it in sparring, you know. We're sparring with high-caliber guys, dropping all of our sparring partners, and, you know, we knew that, you know, we had to put it on him early. And, you know, I think that was something for me to understand and just kind of get that experience. And, you know, it's one of those things that you don't really know until you know. So, you know, it was really good to get that experience. And, you know, I hope someday we can run that back, but I knew that I was going to drop him. I knew that I was going to drop him more than once. And, I just, you know, I thought it was the right opportunity, the right time and everything. So, you know, I think things were a little weird, you know, at the very end, but it is what it is. And, you know, we move forward, and, I know that we can make great fights moving forward for the fans.
Now, when you say that things were a little weird at the end, are we talking about the stoppage? Do you think the stoppage was a little bit premature?
Yeah, I thought it was. You know, they. I mean, if you watch it back, the bell rang, and he like totally, you know, called the fight off. I mean, for me, especially in an interim title fight, at least give me another round. Give me that time to, you know, move on. But, you know, I guess at the end of the day, like you can't look at the ref, you can't look at anybody. You know, I shouldn't have been in that position, but, you know, I just gotta move forward. But yeah, it's, you know.
I definitely understand that. You know, it's funny that you mentioned it, because I remember when I watched it live, I thought the referee stepped in because the bell rung. I didn't know that he was stopping the fight at first. You know? Yeah, that was very interesting. Now, obviously, after the fight, I'm sure you felt the difference, especially when it comes to the fans. Like, you made a lot of fans in that fight. What's been your reaction to you? Like, what's your thoughts on the reaction that people have had to your fight?
I've had, you know, I've had some that, you know, I think there's a lot of Caleb Plant fans, and you know, I'm gonna give that to them. They, you know, they are who they are, and you know, Caleb's a good fighter. I'm not gonna like take anything away from him, but I've been getting a lot of love, man. A lot of love, just when it comes to my power, my skill, my I guess my overall aura. There's a lot of guys that have been, you know, just coming to me, and they really like my fighting style. And I think really at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. It's, you know, do you enjoy watching these guys fight? And do you want to watch a guy that runs around the ring, or do you want to watch a guy that is trying to win and is trying to knock people out? And that's what I do. So, I think that's why I've gotten a lot of, you know, really, really good.
Give Trevor a moment. I think he probably got a phone call. Yeah, just give him one moment. But
big opportunities, and you know, I wasn't able to get it done, but. You know, we're going to be, you know, we're back in the gym, and we're going to.
Hey, Trevor, can you hear me, Trevor? I think you cut off a little bit. I'm not sure if you got like a phone call or something, but you cut out a bit while you were talking. Not sure if you can hear me.
We're gonna get it.
Question, because you have a lot of fighters that you've been calling out. Some guys been calling you out. Obviously, we know in your division you got the Edgar Berlangas of the world, Diego Pacheco, Christian DeVille. You have a lot of smoke at 168. Like, are you close to getting one of those kinds of fights? Like, what is it gonna take for you to get one of those guys in the ring with you?
I can't wait. Man, it'll be pretty easy. I want to say pretty easy, but you know, maybe not. You know, I don't know. We're talking. You know, we're talking to a few guys, but you know, they. I think a lot of guys look at that fight and they go, "I don't know about this guy now." You know, I think respectfully, I think Caleb thought that. And, you know, I'm a different beast. Like, it's not not the guy that you thought you were going to get. You know, ain't no cherry pick. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of guys, and I'm just down to make great fights for the fans and keep moving forward. And, yeah, man, like, look back. Everybody was, you know, putting that nomination for, you know, Fight of the Year. So that's what I want to do. I want to give Fight of the Year every single fight. You ain't going to see me back down at all. You're going to see me win, and you're going to see me knock fools out. And that's what I'm about.
Yeah, definitely. That was a great fight. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the names at 168. Like, who are some of the guys that you would prefer to fight? When you do get back in the ring,
you know, we're looking at Pacheco, we're looking at Berlanga. I would love to fight Berlanga. You know, I know he's taking his little tune up, which is fine. You know, I guess, you know, I could take a little tune up too, but it's like, I don't know. For me, I'm at this stage in my career that I want to take big fights, and I just, you know, I want to cement my last name in boxing before I go out. So I don't really want to take anything that, you know, isn't worth anything. But, you know, we're looking at Pacheco, you know, and Billy. And obviously Berlanga, but Berlanga's kind of going on his own thing. And, you know, his camp and everybody's super cool. But, you know, if we want to make a really big fight that people want to see, I mean, people want to see that fight. People want to see a power puncher and a power puncher. A lot of people want to see Berlanga McCombie. So I don't see why we can't make that happen, you know. I think the fans need to call for it, and I'm going to keep calling for it. And I'll keep talking to my people and keep trying to make it happen.
Absolutely. You said that you're back in the gym. Do you have like a fight that you're in talks with right now? Like what's the timetable where the fans can see you actually physically back in the boxing ring?
There's no timetable right now. We're looking at, you know, maybe May, maybe June. My manager, Hector with Ferco Box, Hector's a great guy. You know, I know he's going to take care of me and make sure that, you know, we get the fights that we want. So, you know, if people want to reach out to him and keep pushing for that Berlanga fight, or really any of these fights, man, you know, we want to give great fights to the fans. So that's really it. Probably May, June, and that's what we're looking at.
Okay. Now, let's talk Saudi, because obviously some of these fighters do fight under Riyadh season. Do you have any interest with maybe going over to Saudi Arabia to get one of these fights?
If I were to say no, I think if any fighter would say no, I think they're lying. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity. I think what Turki Alashik is doing is really good for the sport. I mean, you know, we had all these really big fights that probably wouldn't have happened without him. So it's great, man. It's huge. So yeah, you know, if the right opportunity arised and he, you know, approached me and my camp and, you know, wanted to make the right fight, I think totally, you know, I'd be down for sure. I mean, I think what he's doing for boxing is really, really good, man. It's created a situation where, you know, guys can actually get the fights that they want.
How's it going, Trevor? This is Ezra. I was wondering, you know, I know Plant was, you know, probably your biggest fight to date. What was definitely your biggest fight to date? What did you learn after that fight? Like, what did you see that you're like, maybe I could have did this differently, or I now see, you know, maybe that level. Like, what do you feel after that fight?
I'd say, you know, a lot of it was the lead up, just the overall atmosphere of the event itself. That's really what I learned. Fight wise, to be honest with you, I didn't really learn too much. You know, a lot of the punches I felt early on, I was slipping. My defense was pretty good. I think learning when to realize, adapt, and change the tide of the fight, that was probably the biggest thing for me. Just understanding that. And that's I'll tell you what, that is huge, man. When you're looking at a fight like that around that many people, you know, I had fought on, you know, Tim Bradley Marquez undercards. I had fought on all those things, but when you're on a Canelo undercard, it's way different. So that's something that I can learn from and move forward and understand, okay, you know, I have all this media to go through and stuff like that. I would say for me personally, it was just the media that was, you know, a lot at, you know, for the whole week. But also, you know, like I said, the tide turn of the fight, you know, you got to understand when to turn it on, when to move, when to when I start using your jab more, and I have the ability to use my feet, have the ability to use my jab. You know, I just obviously, as you guys saw, I chose to land the ropes and kind of I wanted to take his power away. I wanted to not even his power, but I wanted to take his energy away. I can't say his power because, you know, he can't really punch, but yeah.
Were you kind of surprised that he kind of started, well, you know, after you dropped him, he kind of decided to, you know, maybe kind of come towards you a little bit, and maybe you were, you know, baiting him in by laying on the ropes, but were you kind of surprised that he stood there in that, in like more of an inside fight?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little surprised that he chose to come to me after that, but I think he understood that at length, you know, I could maximize my power, so I think that's where he understood that you know, okay, if I crowd him a little bit, and so that's all stuff I feel like late in my career I just started working on, and you know, we're gonna keep working on that. Just working on the inside and working on stuff like that. But, you know, even some of the tactics he was using, I was talking to my trainer and I was like, yeah, we were working on that, you know? So it's all, you know, learning game, and we need to just keep moving forward and just keep getting that down, man.
Yeah. Who got you into boxing? Like, to start boxing, what fighters were you, like, watching? Like, I want to do this. I want to base my style off of this guy.
Well, I started boxing just because of my dad. I have pictures of myself when I was, you know, a newborn in a boxing glove. So my dad always loved boxing, and he was an amateur boxer in the Marines, and I think he fell in love with the sport, and he got me into it. And I started my amateur career actually at 7. My dad lied about my age and got me into the amateurs at 7 and not 8. So, that's kind of how it happened there, man. Like, you know, and I really fell in love with the sport, I would say, after my amateur career. I feel like I was always I feel like I was fighting for my life every time I'm going out there. And now, you know, with my faith in God, and now I just enjoy doing it. I love having fun. I love being in the gym. I love showcasing my talent. I mean, it's my God-given ability, and now for me, this is what I love to do.
You're pretty strong at 168. Would 175 be something you're interested in the future? Like, I see that we see the strength there. Is there, if the opportunity comes at 175, would you go up there and take it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I would definitely take the jump up. I fought most of my career at 175, and I would totally take the jump up. I think for a lot of my career, I didn't take a lot of things seriously, and now just knowing where I should be, and you know, I should be at 168, but with my body frame, though, I definitely, you know, I'm a big guy. You know, I can just carry the weight around well, and I think 75 would definitely be an option if the right opportunity presented itself.
I wanted to ask you, Trevor, because I know you took a very long break from boxing, about 5 years. Like, why did you leave the sport? A boxing, and what made you decide to actually come back to it?
I really went through a a time where I just wanted to figure out really what I wanted to do. And I think a lot of it, you know, it's just life stuff, man. You know, I think like what a lot of people go through. I think a lot of people need to look at these fighters, including myself, but all these other guys, and just look at them as human beings. You know, we go through stuff, and, you know, we go through parent stuff. We go through, family, stuff like that. And, that's really what I was going through, man. I was trying to just find myself. Why am I here on this earth? And, that's why I give all glory to God. And, I'm just very happy to be in the position that I'm in now to finally say that I love what I do. And I, you know, I have a platform that I can at least help people, help youth, help, not even youth, but just everybody with their life. So if they can look at my, my situation, and, you know, someday I can kind of dwell on more on kind of what happened. But, you know, I love boxing now, and that's kind of where I'm at now, man. You know, those 5 years were pretty rough, and I'm glad that I made it out the hole.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, we're glad to have you back, because obviously you have been putting on some great performances. What would you say so far your career has been your best performance?
I would say my last fight. I look back, and, you know, if you can go back on tape and look at some of my other fights, I didn't really look like I was having that much fun. I had a lot of fun fighting Plant, because I was fighting somebody that was, you know, on that same level. You know, you're fighting somebody that, that wanted to win just as bad as you, has been in the sport just as long as you. And, that really made me happy, man. Like, it made me happy finally getting on a big card, finally showing people, hey, this is what I can do. And this is my defense. This is my offense. Look at the power that I have. And I finally was able to show the world that. So I think maybe that was my best performance, but I still feel I have so much more to show. And my trainer feels that too, you know. If you guys were to see some of the sparring I've done, you would, you know, be amazed. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited for the future. It's going to be big.
What's life been like for you after the Caleb Plant fight?
Oh, it's been good, man. I've been hanging out with my family, and just a lot of family time. I was away from my family for about 7 months. About that, for this last camp, because we were getting calls about different fights and this and that, and we were finally able to make the Plant fight, but I was away from my family for, yeah, like 7-8 months. So that was kind of rough. So they, yeah, overall, just family, man. Just hanging out with my family. And, you know, I just had a newborn 3 months ago.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations on that one. That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a blessing.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's how it's been looking now, man. Just hanging out with family and, yeah, getting ready for the next thing. But, yeah.
You're part of one of the You're like one of the leaders of the hashtag Make Boxing Great Again movement, man. So talk to your constituents. Give them your missive. How is Trevor McCombie going to make boxing great again?
Man, we're not going to duck any fights. And hold on one sec.
Hey, Ezra, does that remind you of you, Ezra?
Oh, yeah, I can relate. This is relatable. This is relatable.
All I'm waiting for is for the dog to start barking now, too.
No. Give it time.
She's like, Daddy, fight again. She's like, Daddy, get back in the ring. Yeah, I'm really happy to talk to you guys. I'm happy to talk to really anybody, man. Like, if I don't know, I really feel, bro, like a lot of these guys, they don't want to get out there and really talk and take fights and do their thing. And that's really what I want to do, man. I want to be just available to the fans, to media, to you guys. And I want to give you guys great fights also. So that's really where I'm at, man. Like, I think that's really what's going to make boxing great is, really getting involved in the community, getting, you know, making these fights. A lot of these guys don't want to make these fights and they don't want to talk to people. And that's where I'm at. I want to talk to you guys, you know, and, just make great fights.
Listen, we definitely appreciate the joins. I know this was like literally impromptu, so you know, I definitely I was like,
yeah,
go let's get this going, man. Because
I got you. That's what I'm saying, bro. I got you guys. Like, yeah, if, you know, you got any questions? Yeah. You want to talk? Let's talk.
do you have a little bit of time to take any questions from any of the listeners?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, just apologize in advance for maybe some baby screaming, but I got you.
Nah, it's fine. So listen, if any of you guys have any questions for Trevor McCombie, feel free to send a request, and I will be more than happy to add you.
I got one more. Who what matchup with you at 168 is the best fight? Like, what makes the best fight of you and someone at 168?
Me and Berlingo.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's the best fight, not only for me, but for the fans. I mean, you want to see a power puncher versus power puncher, let's get it. You know? I think a lot of guys want to see that.
No, you're right. You're definitely right about that. So who are you training with?
I've been training with Brandon Woods for probably the last 4 years. Brandon Woods is Kenny Adams's, you know, like protege. Brandon grew up with Kenny back, I think, before he was a trainer over at, over in the Army. Brandon's known Kenny for a really, really long time, has been under him. And, so I've been working with Brandon Woods for a pretty long time, but I actually started working with Kenny Adams back when I was 17, which is crazy. Like, I moved to Vegas my senior year of high school, to start my career.
Oh, do you follow boxing or you're just mainly in the gym? Because I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on, first of all, this Riyadh season card that we just had on February 22nd. Did you get a chance to see that card?
I wasn't able to watch all of it, no. I can't say I love boxing, but I guess it takes some fights to get me up for it, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I was able to watch a little bit of it, not too much. Certain fights really get me up for the sport, but yeah, it's kind of a hit or miss for me. Like, if it's, but in the same breath, like, you know, I'll be a student of the game and watch like some old fights and stuff. So,
are you training year round? Like, how's your training, especially when you don't have a fight lined up? Like,
right now so Brandon lives in Vegas. I live in Peoria, Arizona. So when I'm here, I have a treadmill in my house. I'm just, you know, running pretty much every day. I hop on the treadmill. You know, I just stay in shape. And I feel like it's, you know, been working good for me. But we're going to just start picking up stuff where I go out to Vegas every few weeks, come back. And that's kind of how it's been lately. But yeah, for the most part, I stay on that treadmill, man. And for me, it's, I feel like a lot of fighters too, you know, you should be on that road. You should be running all the time. For me, I feel like is a huge thing. Stay on the road, stay running. And if you've been in the sport a really long time, then you already know what it is. You already know, you know, a lot of the stuff. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at. You know, we're staying in shape and just getting ready for the next thing. And I feel like it's very important, man. Running is very important.
So this weekend you got your guy Rob Valenzuela. He's going up against Gary and Antoine Russell. I know you said that's one of your favorite fighters. What's your thoughts on that matchup, and what does Ryo need to do to win?
Man, that's another great fight. I think a lot of people are saying 50-50. I love Ryo. I think, man, I got so excited, like, just watching him just box his ears off, box off cruises. Like, he just boxed the shit out of him, bro. And now looking at this fight, it's a little different. And to be honest with you, like, I don't really know too much about Russell. I think he has about, like, what, five other brothers or something like that. And I remember being at the JOs and watching, I think it was, I don't know which Gary it was, but Gary, he was fighting.
It depends on what year we talked about. I'm going to let you know.
2010. So he fought Jose Benavidez, actually.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, yeah. That's probably Gary Jr. No, not Gary Jr. He's already boxing. That's probably
Gary Antoine. The one fighting Ryo. It has to be.
Yeah. That's Gary Antoine. That's the one that's fighting this weekend.
Okay, I think it may have been his other brother, who's now a little chubbier.
I know you're talking. I just saw him today too. I forgot his middle name. Yeah, because they're all named Gary, you know? It's like the George Foreman thing, named all his sons George.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're all cool dudes, but, like, you know, it's hard to really know which one. But, anyway, you know, I feel like the boxing world, they all know of the Russells. Like, they're great fighters, so. And they've been in the game a long time. And so, you know, it's going to be a tough fight. It'll be very interesting. It's not a come forward guy like Cruz, which I feel like is a easier fight in the sense I mean, he looked like a monster, like nobody would beat. But you know, he got beat easy. So now this one coming up, it's going to be, you know, a good boxer versus another good boxer. So it's going to be a really interesting fight. I think Rayo's going to edge him. Just in activity and maybe being a little bit younger. So it'll be a really good fight, man. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the fights on the card that might steal the show. I wanted to bring in my guy from the Boxing Source, my mentor, my guy, J.R. Bell James. What's going on, J.R.?
Yo, what's going on? Good evening, everybody. What's going on there, Trevor McCombie? Yeah, as far as those Gary Russells, yeah, there's about five or six of them. And one is Gary Allen Russell, A-L-L-A-N and A-L-L-E-N. So when you talk about Big Gary, it's A-L-L-A-N. So that's one that you're referencing there. You did mention that you would welcome a fight there with Edgar Berlanguez. That would be a, you know, good all-action fight. Is there, like, any other interesting matchups there within 168 that you would be, you know, up for?
I would totally be down for a Mbilly fight.
Okay. Yeah. Now, that would be another action fight.
I think, that's another one, man. I mean, I think people would love to hear about that fight, but, you know, there's a lot of people, that's actually what I was telling somebody else recently. I was like, man, you know, like, I put on a good showing and this and that in my last fight, but there's a lot of guys that are a little weary, like, ah, do we fight this guy? You know, he's got some power. He does have some defense to him. If you watch the last fight, you can see it. And it all kind of depends on these guys, like whether they want to, you know, even offer me the fight or get the fight. So
Is that Taylor Swift in the background? What is that? What song is that?
we got some Baby Boss going.
Okay. I'm like, what is that? Hey, I got
it sounds my... like a hit. It sounds like a hit. I'm not gonna lie to you. It sounds like a hit.
I got my guy Juan here from Everyone Has an Opinion. You're on with Trevor McCombie. Juan, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Trevor? You said that only a few fighters get you up to watch the sport. I was just wondering, who are those fighters? And what are some of the fights that you'd like to see as a fan?
I got really up watching the Fury Wilder trilogies. Those really got me going. You know, I was a huge fan of Wilder, his punching power. And obviously, I was a huge fan of Fury's charisma, his boxing ability. So I got really really amped up for those fights. I got really amped up for Crawford Spence. You know, those were, I think everybody was amped up for those, but you know, certain guys and
oh my gosh.
Better be a Bivol. I think those, like, obviously those were big.
Of you all. Come on, everybody.
I would like to see... I would really like to see Tank and Stevenson. I would really like to see that fight.
Absolutely. Who would you pick in that fight?
That one's rough, man. I think I would give... I give Tank the little edge for just being who he is. He's Tank. Like, he is who he is, man. I mean, the name says itself, but in that one, I'd have to give maybe to Stevenson. I think Tank has kind of lost his lost his pizzazz, you know, his desire to really show the world, like, just from interviews and stuff like that. But again, it's Tank. So
right. I think that's the fight that would get him up. Get him motivated to put on his best performance.
Oh yeah, for sure. So as you all know, like, it just depends on what fighter shows up. Is it the motivated want to win fighter? Is it the one that wants to show the world that they're the best, or is it the kind of more unmotivated fighter that just wants to make his money and get out? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, now, you did mention Tank and some of the stuff that
maybe it seems like he's going through publicly, obviously, with the interviews that we saw back in December. Like, just as a fighter, like, take us through the mentality of a fight. Like, can you relate to maybe what it is maybe he was going through before? I'm not sure if he's going through it now, but what he was going through before, and maybe being fed up with the boxing business?
For sure. Yeah, I can totally relate. I mean, and I've told guys this from the beginning, you know. Unfortunately, and it has nothing to do with you or with fans or with anybody. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what is right for me, and especially if you have a family. And I mean, y'all can look at your jobs too, you know, like, is anybody going to talk to you after you're done with your job? You know, nobody's really going to. I love the promoters. I love everybody. But at the end of the day, is the promoter going to call me and ask me how I'm doing with my family? Are they going to ask me how I'm doing? Are they going to try to help me? No. So I don't judge him. I don't, you know, I don't really judge any fighter. And I don't judge Canelo for doing what he did. You know, he cemented his legacy, and, you know, he did what he had to do, and can't judge a guy for doing what's best for him to keep living on, you know, and doing better.
Yeah.
I wanted to get my guy Blunts in boxing here. Blunts, you're on with Trevor McCombie. What's going on, Blunts?
I appreciate you, Matt, and appreciate you, Trevor. I just wanted to ask, we heard about who kind of gets you interested in boxing now. I'm curious, who got you first interested in the sport back when you were young? And who actually, what fighters specifically had you wanting to watch constantly when you were younger as well? Like, who got you in the gym, and what fighters really gained your interest in the sport when you were young?
I love watching Oscar De La Hoya. I was in that, you know, when I was younger, I was in that golden era of watching HBO boxing. So I love watching De La Hoya. I love watching, you know, the Vargas Trinidad trilogies. Roy Jones is another guy that, you know, my growing up, my dad used to always say, like, you know, be dynamic. Don't think that you're just another guy. Be dynamic. So I always try to be dynamic and, you know, think about my defense and just being fast, not being just another Joe Schmo and, you know, well, you know, move forward and slow punches and this and that. That's what really got me in the gym and really loved boxing was De La, like I guess that golden era of welterweights, and that was huge. And obviously Roy Jones too.
Yeah. Obviously you have a style of your own, but who would you say like maybe you like tried to pattern your style after?
Growing up, I was always just taught to take so many different styles. So I can't really say that I emulate one style, but I've been told by a lot of people that I fight a lot like Bobby Chaz. So I don't know if that kind of helps people understand like maybe my style, but maybe a little bit of Bobby Chaz and you know, I really try to just keep my speed, and like a lot of people don't understand until they're in there with me. They understand that I am very fast. And you know, they don't really understand that until they're in there with me.
Yeah. Let's get to the fights this weekend. Obviously we got the big card on March 1st. Javante Tank Davis versus Lamont Roach, man. What are your thoughts on that matchup, and who do you favor to come out victorious in that fight?
I think Tank's gonna knock him out before the 8th.
Oh wow! Oh wow! Okay. I was thinking 8 rounds, to be honest. Listen, I like Lamont Roach. He does have a lot of skills. I always wonder, can that guy take Tank's power, you know? Because Tank, like, he's very underrated with his boxing skills and the punches that he wants to land. It's just a matter of whether or not the guy can take it, you know? So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it, though. Are you going to watch it at all?
Yeah, I'll be watching it for sure. Yeah, I'll be watching it. And yeah, that's what's so crazy, man. That's what's great being a fan. You know, we can look at this stuff and be like, you know, you got to look at his chin. Like, can he if he takes some shots and he keeps, you know, it just all depends on what his game plan is. But if he takes some shots and, you know, he's able to, you know, move forward. But yeah, I just don't know, man. I think Tank just, you know, he has that shot that's gonna catch these guys. But as we saw with, you know, Frank Martin.
Yeah, that Frank Martin knockout was filthy, man.
I was actually there live, man, and just even watching him, you know, catch him with that shot and then backflip off the ropes was live. Oh man, like you see why he's one of the top guys. Like he's a great entertainer.
Yeah, he definitely is. I wanted to add. Hopefully not against my better judgment, lying legal, because I don't see that you follow Brunch Boxing. So I'm kind of wondering how you found the space. I'm guessing through Trevor. But lying legal, you're on with Trevor McCombie, man.
Ah, man. So the lying legal, so there's like a little microphone in the bottom left-hand corner. You got to hit
that microphone in the bottom left-hand corner to unmute yourself so the people can hear you, lying legal.
And I'll be really upset.
He's actually a lion, and he probably can't hit the button because he has no opposable thumbs.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with that.
But Lion Legal,
you're going once. Lion Legal going twice, and you are.
Out he's not just there. The king of the jungle; he's the king of the court. He'll fight for you.
Yeah, an actual lion. Oh my god.
Hey, listen. I try to give him a chance. I always try to give people a chance to speak. I do.
I try to get people to speak.
All right, he requested again, so clearly his thumb works. His thumb works.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. We can hear you now. You're always covering my thumb. All right.
And let me get my hand on the remove button real quick.
Hello, Tenacious. Right. How's it going?
Trevor.
How's it going, brother?
I'm all right. I saw the fight that you had with, man, I'm forgetting his name. This is how, you know, irrelevant this dude is. What's the name again? Sorry.
Caleb Plant?
Caleb Plant. Thank you.
You can't be saying that Caleb Plant is irrelevant, right? Hold on. You're not saying that Caleb Plant is irrelevant, right? Okay. Former world champion, Caleb Plant. Are we being serious?
Right, what world champion? What belt did he win? Anyway, so as I was saying, Trevor, you gave a.
Nah. We're not gonna come on here and disrespect any fighter. Okay, we're not gonna do that here. Like, if you want to do that, go create your own platform, and you could go disrespect fighters to your heart's content. But we're not gonna be doing that here. All right, we respect all fighters. So yeah, he had to go. He had to go. Not Caleb Plant. Not my guy.
Caleb Plant. I had some legal questions for him that I was gonna ask him after he asked his questions.
Sorry, guys. I had to mute myself. I had to handle some kid stuff, so I wasn't sure what was said.
Hey, don't tell me you're over there breastfeeding, Trevor. Come on, man. What are we doing here?
No. Hell no.
Nah, I'm messing with you, man. Yo, there was a video, that came out a few like months ago. Was that you fighting? Or was that people just saying it was you?
No. That was somebody just making some. It just makes some stuff up. No, that wasn't me. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. No, that probably would have been me. Like maybe at 22, 23, you probably would have seen me doing that. But not at my age, man. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, I was like, yo, Trevor, a wild boy, man. What's going on here?
No.
Oh, man, that is hilarious, man. But listen, I appreciate you joining us, man. Listen, you're always welcome in the spaces. You know, feel free to come chop it up with us anytime, man. Like, we're on every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time. I don't know how early you get up, but we get up early to give the people what they want. So, but thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate you, Trevor.
Man, I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, for sure. I'll, I'm up pretty early with the kids. So, yeah, if I'm there, I'll join in and just talk boxing with you guys.
Hey, listen. Appreciate it, man. And we cannot wait to see you back in the ring. Best of luck in all your future endeavors, man. Thank you so much for joining us, Trevor.
All right, thank y'all. All right, you guys, have a good night. All right.
You too.
All right. You too, man. Trevor McCombie, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, God bless.